You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. Am I turned on? I am. Thank you for joining us online. For those who are joining us, we'd like to welcome you as we worship together. Please stand as we begin our time of worship, singing God is good all the time. And He is.
Through the darkest night, His light will shine.
Thank you. Please turn and greet one another this morning. Welcome to worship. Well, good morning. You settled down quite nicely. If you'd like to turn to your bulletins, we'll go through a few things today. And then I just have a little thing I want to share with all of you after that. Search committee, you are meeting today. Is that correct, I believe? Okay. Meet right after the worship service. Blue Water registration is due April 15th. Confirmation Sunday, May 7th. Good Friday service is April 7th at 7:30. Scandinavian dinner and pie auction at Heritage Christian School in Carlson on Friday, March 31st at 6:30, and they also do to-go orders. Tonight, there is a worship service back here at the church at 7:30, and we would invite you to come out to that. There's a backpack program, the Cornerstone Food Pantry backpack program. They put food in backpacks for kids in the school, public school that have needs at home, and they are running low on funds. If you'd like to donate, please send checks to Cornerstone Food Pantry. You'll see the address listed there. And we'll wait with birthdays. There will be Sunday school on Easter Sunday. Is that correct? Yep. Okay, great. There will be Sunday school on Easter Sunday. Teachers do not have to plan a lesson, as Heather has a plan for a special fun day. So remind the kids to come. Remind your families. Check with Heather if you'd like to help out as well. Next Sunday, Mitch Hobby will be here giving the sermon during the worship service, and he is the pastoral candidate that'll be coming, so please come out and hear Mitch and visit with his family. There will be a potluck meal following the service next Sunday, and a sign-up sheet can be found in the foyer as well. There is a Papa Ridge fundraiser planned, and that is to raise money for the parsonage. That will be April 23rd at 4 o'clock, and then there will be a meal following the concert as well. Jesus Revolution, the Fellowship Committee is planning to show the movie Jesus Revolution in the Sanctuary on April 28th. Julie and I went and saw it last night, and it'll be well worth your watch. It was very, very delightful, just fun to see. And very encouraging. The new study, all women are invited to the study called Trustworthy, excuse me, and that is on Monday at 7, starting on April 3rd. If you would like to order a book, excuse me, I'm losing my voice already. Talk to Shelby or Jordan, is that right? Good? Okay. Birthdays. Wow. Today we have a birthday. I don't know if I can do it. Okay, Matt Vig, it's your birthday today. Happy birthday, Matt. We'll maybe sing later. And Alexa Johnson, too. Happy birthday. Monday is Marge Whitlock. Happy birthday, Marge. And Tuesday is Restine. Wednesday is Jordan Vig. Happy birthday, Jordan. And Saturday, Faith Lieberg's birthday, so I think we'll sing happy birthday after a bit. We'll just include all of them so we don't make Matt feel embarrassed. How am I doing, Matt? Oh, yeah. Okay, any other announcements for you? Christy. Okay. Okay. Yep. So youth group, be here Wednesday to leave at 5 o'clock, so come a little early. So you can get on the bus and head down for the movie. So you
bring money for snacks.
Snacks are always good. Yep. It's a worthwhile movie. Very good. As Julie and I were walking around Grand Forks, we ran into Gary Barrett and Lori. And for those of you that know them, Gary said he's seen it twice already. So, and once by themselves and then once with his church. So it's been very good. Anything else? Danny. Okay, come on up.
Okay, as he said, April 2nd, Mitch is going to come up and do a sermon, and then the following week, the congregation will vote to accept Mitch as a pastoral candidate. So anyway, what's going to happen on Saturday, he's going to bring his family up here, and a smaller group's going to meet with him. We're going to have a meal. But on Sunday, with the potluck and everything, I want everybody to shake his hand, get to know Mitch and his family as best we can. He's a super person. He's very transparent, very outgoing. So I like to see as many people as possible. So pass the word out that next Sunday he will be here. And then, like I said, Easter Sunday after the service, we'll do a quick vote. And that's pretty much just a follow-up of what we have planned right now. So hope to see you next week, and that should work.
Awesome. Thanks, Danny. And pray, right?
Yes.
Covered in prayer. Okay, anything else this morning? Okay, then I have something. Ron Nelson had asked me to just share with all of you that Phyllis, his wife, passed away. And just to let all of you know, Phyllis was she was just a real precious friend for Julie and I. Not only had common relatives, but she was just an incredibly gentle and kind, loving person that I think her family might be worshiping with us this morning down in Arizona. Phyllis did faithfully pretty much every Sunday, from what I've been told. And she was one of the most encouraging people to me to continue doing what I've been doing for 15 years. So she will be missed. There will be a service sometime later. But just so all of you know, if you would pray for Ron and the family and as well. But Phyllis is Doris Swenson's daughter. Doris, just in case you can't relate Phyllis to what her ties are, but she has a lot of ties here, and this has kind of been home for a long time. So if you just remember them in prayer. She was one that encouraged me so much, and it was fun to see her comment and give messages Sunday morning. And because it's all too easy to wonder if anyone's listening out there. But Phyllis made sure that I understood and knew very well that she was. So she'll be missed. Okay, anything else then this morning before we move on? Okay, praise team, come on back up. And ushers, if we'd come for the offering, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We pray that you'd guide us, that you'd bless this offering. Bless our time of worship today, God. May we just enter in with all our being, God, to just be present here as we dig into your word and as we try to understand more of your Holy Spirit and the work that he does in us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sing along with us in the calm. Oh, Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning. I would like to read to you from Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 32. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Such awesome passage. Okay, any prayer requests? I have Phyllis's family down here, so Christy? Tomorrow.
Yep. And then just pray for Danny's family and for those traveling to the funeral.
Okay. Anyone else? Curtis? Okay, anybody else? Okay, Renee.
So just an update on Laura. She got able to have three eggs that were fertilized and they're IVF. Tomorrow she'll find out if they are able to get to the freezing stage, and that's only a 50% chance of even having kind of stage.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Oh, Mary.
Kristen, your old dad is really sick, so they need lots of prayer.
Okay. Okay. Sandy.
Sandy and Heather Sandy are still waiting.
Okay. I was just thinking about them this morning. And she's doing well? God knows when it's coming, right? Okay. Okay, any other requests?
Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Awesome. Bill? That who is going to?
Hazel.
Hazel? Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, Bob? Okay, anyone else? No other requests? Okay, let's fold our hands and our hearts and just come to the Lord. Lord, we just thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you that we can come together to worship you and to fellowship, Lord. I just pray that you will continue to work in our lives as we share with other people and get to know other people, Lord. We pray that you'll continue to just draw us to each other and to you, Lord, through all of it. And Lord, we also just pray for Phyllis Nelson's family, for Ron and the kids, Lord. We just thank you for the blessing that she's been to all of us up here and her friendly face when we'd see her uptown, Lord. We just thank you for the great time that they've had up here, Lord, with us. And we just pray that you'll continue to guide the family and just be with them and help them feel your strength and your presence through all of this. Lord, we just thank you that Denise had her foot surgery, and now I just pray the pain control will be good. Lord, I pray for a quick healing and just help her to be patient. Pray for Brody Scalise's implant tomorrow, the first one that he's going to be having, and I just pray for success for that. And I also pray for the doctors that they'll be doing it, Lord. And I also pray for Danny Wilson's family, Lord, with the funeral coming up. I pray for safe travel for all of those. And I just pray that your presence will be felt through all of the time that they're together. We just also thank you, Lord, that Ivan is doing much better. He's walking and increasing his strength, and we just know it's miracles from you and answered prayer that we've all been giving. Lord, we pray for Claudia this week as she has appointments in Fargo and Grand Forks. We pray that they will be successful and traveled safely. And Lord, we just praise you also that Laura was able to have the first part of her treatment, Lord, for the IVF. And I just pray, Lord, that you will continue to work in her lives, in their lives, and just guide them. We pray that the results will be exactly what you want for her, Lord. And I just pray that you'll bless her. Just draw her close to you during this time, Lord. The beginning of life is such a miracle. Lord, we just pray for Kristen Jerome's dad, who's not doing very well, and we pray for Kristen and her family. We also pray for Rudy and Heather, awaiting the birth of their new baby. I pray for safety as they have to travel to the doctor as well as the birth. Lord, I pray everything will go well, and we just thank you for Jordan Joshik too, Lord, as she's a couple of weeks away from having her baby, and I just pray for blessings on both of those families. We praise you for Nygaard's trip to Texas and the wedding, that it went well. We just thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray that Hazel will have her puppy safely, Lord, and that you'll just continue to guide her and be with Belle and Lucy and just bless them. Lord, we also pray for Kathy Engstrom's surgery that she's having. She's been having a lot of pain, and pray that you'll help her with that surgery and help her just to know that you're near her and that you love her. We pray for Carol Mancey's daughter, Cindy, who's been fighting cancer now, Lord, and I just pray that you will intervene and be with them and show them that you love them so much, and just pray for treatments that will go well. We also pray for Rebecca Ziegelman as she's in the hospital, Lord, and just pray that her medications will get straightened around and that she'll regain strength, and she loves you so much, and just pray that she'll feel your presence near her. Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you were sent to us, Lord, by Jesus, and I just pray that you'll help us to grow in the Holy Spirit, look for guidance from him, Lord, and I just pray that you'll encourage us and help us and lead us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Faith. Yep. Praise team, come on back up, and we will continue to worship. Please stand. Nothing but the blood.
we can come together. Help us to not forget the many, many, many freedoms that we have living in this country and also as being a Christian and walking with you, Lord. We pray that as Galen speaks through the word and through the message that you've given him, Lord, that we would just open our ears and our hearts to hear, to listen, to be obedient. And Lord God, if we're convicted of anything, to act upon it. We just thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Eye patch. Before I begin, I forgot to announce we will be doing the nursing home service today, so if anyone would like to come along, join me there at 2 o'clock, and we will have a great time. It's a precious time for me. It's so fun to go from table to table now that I can and visit and go from room to room and visit. And there's some real precious wisdom, I think, that gets lost when you don't spend time with folks that are there and have a lot of time on their hands. So 2 o'clock today if you'd like to visit and come along. And if you'd like to help me sing, that'd be great. If you'd like to preach, I'll let you do that too. Well, here we are. And you're probably saying, finally, 21 sermons later, and it's time to land the plane. We're on the ground and we're reaching the end of our journey on our walk through the Spirit and through the Holy Who series, I should say. It has been my hope through this whole time that as we have prepared, and God, I really believe that he just really laid this on my heart a long time ago, and I've finally been obedient to do this, to help us better understand what that means, what it means to walk by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit as God intends for us to. And I also hope that this series has helped you let go of your flesh a little bit. Let go of that sin nature that we all carry around so that we don't give Satan a foothold in our lives. Because one thing we do know about Satan is that he is like a roaring lion, right? Seeking someone to devour. And he's really good at it. He's really good at deceiving. He's really good at taking even scripture and corrupting it. So much so that in his arrogance, he tried to fool Jesus by quoting scripture to him and tempting him. So when we go through things in our life, we shouldn't be surprised when we are tempted, when we are given just a little bit of truth from God's word and expected to just believe it. We are told to walk by the Spirit so that we don't gratify the desires of the flesh. You and I are in a spiritual battle. I don't think we think about that enough. And the longer I live, the more real it becomes that life goes fast. Maybe it's because I spend a lot of time with folks at end of life. And I hear the questions and I hear the reality when someone says to me, I had no idea that my life is coming to an end. And it's not something that I thought about much when I was much younger, but the reality of life is we are born, we walk through life, and then we die. And you're probably thinking, wow, that's it? That's after 21 sermons, that's all you've got? But there's so much more than that, because there's that number two part. After you're born, we walk through life, and it's not easy. But then there's this amazing thing that God did for us, that out of his great love for us, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die for us so that we can be born again. Not just born once, but born twice. So that we can live for him, and that's what we are called to do then in phase two of our life, is we walk by the Spirit. There are some that don't believe that there is life after death. Do you believe that? I know two that came to my mind as I was writing this, and I'm not going to name names, but they don't believe that. They believe that when you die, you die. That's it. And then there are some people who like the idea of everlasting life. They like the idea of a God who saves them. But that's as far as it goes. They just like the idea. And they don't want anything more than just the idea because the idea is nice and it's comfortable and they like comfort. I think that's one of the biggest traps in the United States, at least because I live here, is we get caught in that trap of comfort, of being comfortable. And it almost takes for us to go to a country where they have nothing before we realize what's really important in life. Because the many things that we rely on and that we actually worship, they don't have. And what's crazy is they seem more joyful than we are because they don't have the stuff. They don't have the distractions. And I think about the people that just like the idea of comfort and they like the idea of a Savior that who saves them. And the more I thought about it, you know what they actually worship is they worship themselves because they like to be comfortable. They have what Paul talks to Timothy about in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And I want you to hear these words and I want you to be prepared because these are hard words to hear, but they're true. That's what prophecy is. It's speaking truth. It's truth telling. So before we go to our main scripture, which Faye read earlier, I want us to go to 2 Timothy and see what Paul says to Timothy. He says, but mark this. In other words, he's telling Timothy, pay attention. This is important. This is very important, Timothy. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. They'll be brutal, not lovers of the good. They'll be treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And Paul gives Timothy some very serious instructions. What does he say? Have nothing to do with those people. Wow. We see this kind of thinking in the world around us of what Paul was explaining to Timothy. And the last part is the part I understand all the other stuff, the brokenness, the chaos, the selfishness, the conceit. The part that really concerned me was the last part. They have the appearance of godliness but deny its power. And before I go any further, I really have to clear this up. I'm not a fruit inspector. It's not up to me to tell you if you're living by the Spirit. I'm pretty sure that I would notice if there is spiritual fruit in your life. But I believe that revealing this fruit is up to the Holy Spirit, not to me. I am not the Holy Spirit for you. So let's think about this last part of verse 5. We're going to back up just a little bit. Those who have a form of godliness, or in other words, say pure religious, and more than likely they say they're religious, if you would ask them. I would even go so far as to say they would say they're Christian. But that's all they have to say. There's no power. There's no fruit. there's no evidence of Christ living in them. They may even speak about God from time to time. They may even read their Bibles from time to time. They may even come to church. They may even go to a Bible study, and yet they are content with living in sin. They are content with living with compromise so that they can justify their sin. They are living lives that don't align with God's word. What God's word says about what it means to have a godly life. I'm not speaking these things to condemn anyone. I'm speaking the truth so that we can have life, so that we can be set free from the bondage of sin, which so easily traps us, even in what seems to be good. I heard it once said that this kind of religious living is like someone professing Christ. He puts on the Christian clothes, like the uniform of a Christian soldier, but their lives dishonor his name. Now I think, and these are just my thoughts, but I think that these kind of people actually do more harm to Christianity than if there was someone that said, I don't believe in God at all. And the first thought that came to my mind was the Church of Laodicea. And Scripture has some very harsh words. He said, I would rather that I would spit you out of my mouth. I wish you were either hot or cold. Very strong words from what the world cries says, but God is love. But God is also just, and he's also holy. And he is sovereign, and he's always good. So what are these things that we hear as we talk about living by the Spirit? I think it's important that we know the fruit. It's important that we know what love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are all about, because those are the weapons that we fight the flesh with. It's like going to battle without ammunition. It's like sending someone off with a rifle, say, go fight the enemy, but you give them no shells. If you think that you can beat your flesh alone, you can't do it. You need Jesus, and you need the Holy Spirit living inside you. And even then, I guarantee you will mess up, because we have this sin nature that continues to be a part of us. The truth is, from what Paul says in Timothy, that if that religious person does have a genuine faith, what I get from this is that he or she cannot be controlled by the Holy Spirit, because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. If they don't know Jesus, they are just religious. They haven't had the change of heart. They continue to live with the heart of stone instead of the heart of flesh that God gives us when we come to Christ. If the Holy Spirit is in us, we have the power of God in us. And it should be evident in our lives. There should be fruit. Again, I am not the fruit inspector. I don't want to be. But we are told that the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer, provides for them everything that they need to live this life. He is our guide. He is our counselor. He speaks words of truth to us. He helps us recognize false teaching. The fruits of the Spirit are really attributes of who God is. This is who God is. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. He is patient. He is kindness. He is goodness. He is gentleness. He is faithful. And he has self-control, or why would he be putting up with us, right? If I were God, I would have given up on this world a long time ago. Probably been right after maybe Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know. I would have given up a long time ago. I praise God for his patience and his self-control. And these same attributes that God has, he has for us. He provides for us. So let's look at our verse for today. Ephesians 4, 17 through 20. Paul tells the Ephesians, he says, so I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord. It's not just a suggestion, he insists on it, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, or in other words, as the unbelievers, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, not just one kind, but every kind, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. How different do you think the world would be if every Christian was living by the Spirit? How different do you think this world would be? Paul didn't just suggest to the Ephesian church that they needed to know this or live like this. He said, I insist on it. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, or as the unsaved do, in the darkness and the futility of their minds. They weren't to do that, and neither are you and I. We're to be done with it. And why did Paul say that? He said, because those outside of Christ are darkened in understanding. In other words, they don't know. They didn't get it. They were alienated from God because of their ignorance. They didn't know the truth of the gospel because of their hardness of heart. They still have that heart of stone in them. They were lost in their sin. And they had become callous. And they gave themselves over to sensuality and every kind of sensuality and greed to practice every kind of impurity. Paul then goes on to say this in verse 21 through 24. The last part of 20 says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul basically says here, he says, you know better, right? You should know better. It's like Paul scolding him. He said, I'm not suggesting this. I'm telling you, I insist on it. This is not how you should live. It's not how you were taught. Paul says, have you ever wanted to say that? I've caught myself saying that. You should know better. That's not how you were taught. We are to put off the old self, which belongs to our former way of life. In other words, our life without Christ, chasing after our flesh and our sinful desires. But instead, he says, we are to be renewed. In other words, we're to become a new person. Paul even said, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me, right? Paul took no credit for the goodness of his life. He gave all credit to God. In Ephesians 4:25, Paul goes on to say, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, in other words, lies, things that are not of Christ, Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. What do I read here? I see, let's grab a hold of the truth and let's do this together. Paul says this unity, unity in Christ. That's what you and I are called to do. Paul then goes on to say in verse 26, he goes on, he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who sees or who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Excuse me. I don't know if you've been on the receiving end of those of encouraging words when you have been beaten down, but they are like living water. They really are like living water. And when I think of people in my life that have been an encouragement to me, I think of Clara Laud. I think of Viva Hunter. I think of Doris, and I think of Phyllis. All these that have gone now, and they're not here. I think of Elaine Turson. The reason that you have sermon notes in your bulletins every Sunday is that she said, I insist on it. She called me out. She said, I need those. So many times when I would preach, I would go see her during the week, and we would go through the notes. We do encourage one another. We are not to give the devil an opportunity in our lives. And yet so many times we do. I know I do. Sometimes even without realizing it. We let things of our old nature creep in. The devil is sneaky. He is deceitful. We let things in, and it's almost like it corrupts our new nature in Christ. Paul then goes on to say in verse 30, and he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I love this passage. So first of all, when we receive the Holy Spirit, Scripture says we are born again. Remember that firstborn? Now we're born again. We are sealed for the day of redemption, or in other words, we are kept secure in Jesus by Jesus. It is nothing that you can do to earn that or keep it. But you are sealed for the day of redemption, the day that you stand before Jesus Christ. Two very dear people in my life or in our lives are experiencing that I could say right now. With Franklin and Phyllis, two very gentle souls, now in the presence of God. Sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, we will not lose the Holy Spirit. Once you have the Holy Spirit, you will not lose it. So what does it mean when Paul says, so don't grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we live contrary to the Spirit. And we grieve it. It's just like God says, it's like a good father giving a son or a daughter a gift. And we abuse the gift. We don't use it for its rightful purpose. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we choose to sin, whether in our thoughts or whether in our words, or whether in our deeds. Grieving the Holy Spirit without a doubt hinders your walk with Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22, Paul tells the Thessalonians, he says, do not quench the Spirit. which to me, that's the same as grieving it in many ways. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. What does it mean to despise prophecies? Prophecies to me are what Scripture defines as truth-telling. Do not despise the truth. Don't make it fit what you want, what you feel. If you trust your heart, it's a scary place to be because your heart is deceptive of all things. Scripture says that. It's easy to go down the wrong path if you just follow your heart. In 2 Peter 1:20 through 21, I just jotted this down just a moment ago. Peter says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. I'm not telling you something that came from me. I want you to be clear on that. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And true prophets faithfully proclaim the word of God. I always say, if you hear someone say the Holy Spirit told you this, that it conflicts with God's word, then you heard wrong. The Holy Spirit will never corrupt God's word. It will never speak contrary to God's word. I even had it said to me one time that said, you've gotten so bad now that you actually worship the Bible. I said, no, I don't. I speak the truth in love and I worship God. That's all I can do. Remember, I am not the fruit inspector. Ephesians 4:32, as we get ready to close, we're almost landing the plane. Paul tells the Ephesians, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, in Christ, God forgave you. I read that and I know very well that I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve that kindness or compassion or forgiveness. And yet God in Christ forgave me. For me, when I began to realize in my life that I was really not living by the Spirit, I used to get frustrated, and I would always try to do better. I would try to work harder at my salvation, and I wasn't giving in to what the Spirit's leading was. So in reality, I would say back then, as I look back at my life, I was grieving the Holy Spirit. He wanted to lead, and I didn't want to follow. I hadn't surrendered completely to following Christ or fixing my eyes on Jesus. And I admit it, it isn't easy to accept that. Life is hard. We are living in a very broken world. All of creation is groaning, we are told. We are so broken, and yet we are in this together. Paul clearly says that. And he calls us to go deeper. He doesn't say, I suggest that you do. He says, I insist on it. Don't be happy with just doing life, saying, I've got a Savior, I'm good to go. When I die, I'll be with him. Your salvation begins, and I say your eternal life begins the day that Christ changes you. So if you are a Christian, you are living eternally right now, because dying twice is not an option for you. You are sealed for the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. Until you're in the very presence of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As Julie and I were watching the movie Jesus' revolution last night. There was one simple line, and I don't know why it stuck to me. Actually, there were two things I took away from there when Gary Barrett, who used to be the pastor at this church, he said, "What did you take away from the movie?" And what I told him was exactly what he took away from the movie. It isn't the hippies we're reaching out to this time. We have a very, very broken world that struggles with who they are. How do we love? How do we love them? Let me tell you, you better have the fruit of the Spirit, because you won't know how. And I love what I can't remember the actor's name, Kelsey Grammer, said to Greg Laurie. It was just a simple statement, and Greg says, "How are we going to do this?" And he said, Kelsey just said, "I wonder what God has on his mind." Because it's up to him. It's not up to us. We can look at the world and we can be so frustrated and broken and thinking, "God, why don't you just come back now?" But God, in one of these wonderful attributes of self-control, he says, "Not yet. It's not time. There's more that need to hear." So it's time to get to work, right? How do we love? How do we speak the truth in that love? I'm never speaking compromise. I'm speaking how do we love the broken and the lost, the confused. Well, next Sunday, I've had two delightful talks with Mitch Hobby. I don't know Mitch, but I've talked with him twice now, an hour each time. And I feel like I could talk for a couple hours each time. He is your candidate for a new pastor, and will be here. And I told Mitch on the first visit, I said, "Mitch, Julie and I are praying for the right pastor. And I'm telling you, if you're not it, then I guess we're not praying for you." And he said, "Thank you." Because he said, "If I'm not it, I don't want to be there." But he said, "If I am, pray for me." So, next Sunday, he'll be talking about Palm Sunday. He'll be talking about Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. One step closer to the cross as Jesus surrendered himself completely to be obedient to his Father's will. Even when he says, "Father, if there's any way, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes it's hard for us to do church, to even do life, to be faithful, to be kind, to be patient, to live with this joy that you call us to and this peace. And this gentleness and this goodness and faithfulness. I can't even hardly get started on self-control. And yet you call us to be like you. You want us to be like you. Not to be God, but to be like you. That we could be your hands and feet, that we could bring the truth of who Jesus Christ really is to the world around us. Loving the broken, loving the hurting, but also loving one another as your family, as your children. God, I don't know what you have next for us. But one of my favorite sayings right now that irritates some people is God is up to something. And I don't know what that is, and I don't need to know right now. Because you know. So prepare us, Lord, for whatever you have, we pray. and encourage us to surrender our lives completely to you. Help us to not get trapped in the comfort of this world, but ready to surrender everything, to follow you. Help us to live by the Spirit, Father, so we don't gratify the desires of our flesh. Those are your words to us. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close. Please stand and we'll sing together our final song, I Surrender All. Father, we do come before you today. God, whatever it is, whatever it takes, God, whatever is in us that is not of you, please take it away. Bring us to the place where we finally surrender completely everything to you, to follow you, to walk by the Spirit. Guide us now, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.